Come on, we can do better than that. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. For the song say, I have Christmas joy down in my soul. Amen. Anybody excited about this season? Oh, I know the ladies are excited because they're expecting gifts. Amen. The men, we may be a little troubled in our souls, but these ladies are excited. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we come this morning to say thank you. We have so much to be thankful for, but as we stated in this season that we have set aside to worship and honor the birth of your son, Jesus Christ, we are excited for him being in our lives. And we pray, Master, that while we are here today, that he visit us individually. Let him touch us. Let him say something to us. Let him touch us in a way that it would change our life. So that when we leave this church today, we will not be the same, but we'll be better because we came. It's in your son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 We now have our opening hymn, hymn 199. Y'all feel that vamp when they changed up on us? Amen, amen. All the way in the manger when our Jesus Christ was born. Amen. You know, we like to look at how pretty that picture was. Well, let me depict for you how it truly looked. That manger was a cave. And in that cave, there were animals that smelled. And there was dung on the floor. There was straw on the floor. So our Lord himself,
Lord have mercy.
I feel like I'm about to preach already. Our Lord lowered himself to a place where all of us can be accepted.
Amen.
Just so we wouldn't get beyond ourselves and learn how to love one another. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to say thank you, Master, because as we've already stated, when your son was born into this world, love was birthed into this world. We thank you because when we take a look to see what this world would be like without love, we find that it would be a terrible place. But you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten son to take away those horrors out of our lives. For he took upon himself our punishments. He took upon himself what should have been given to us, that we may be able to experience love. So as we pray today, Master, we ask that every Christian learn to love one another. And there are so many indications, or shall I say, people, I want so many indications of what can show you what a real Christian is. But if we are truthful about it, the one thing that is a true indicator of a real Christian is if they are able to show love. That is the one thing that you require of us above every other thing. That is to show love. Let us learn in this season that it's not about just giving gifts, but it's about sharing love with one another. Let us leave these walls today understanding that we are obligated through you to smile, to say hello, to touch a hand, to forgive, to understand, and to be at peace with one another. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Master, our Lord and our Savior, we come now to say thank you for these gifts that have been given here today. And Master, we pray that we please you with every decision that we make. For we understand that this is not our money, but it is yours. And we ought to give back unto you as you required. And since we have done such, Master, we pray now that you bless every decision. Master, so that the people in the world can see that you yet still have all power. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, saints. Come on, good morning, saints. Anybody love the Lord out there this morning? Anybody love the Lord out there this morning? Come on, come on. I know that this is not just a praying church. I know that this is a praising church. Amen. So we're going to ask you, the male chorus, we're going to consider you as being our angels, our background angels. So you know this song, you've heard it so many times before. So I'm going to ask for your prayers, but more importantly, since this is the last and final Sunday of Advent, and it is the Sunday of love, I want you all to lift your voices with us this morning. When you hear Jesus, I love you, I want you to wave your hands like you do it. Let him know that you love him this morning. Amen. Don't be ashamed to let him know that you love him. Yes, I love you, Lord.
You done for me.
I love you, I love you.
You set me free. Come on, Jesus, I love you, I love you. Come on and say, Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you, because you care.
Anybody in here love Jesus? Come on, don't play with me. I asked the question, does anybody in here love Jesus? He is the greatest love that you can ever experience. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. For he loved us so much. That he went through all that he went through so that he can show us love. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because we, if you haven't paid attention to everything that you do, if you sit back and examine what you do, you will find out we do everything to find love. Even the trees and the birds and the bees, they all work to find love. We all desire love. He put love in us so that we could desire love. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Amen. Because I don't think you hear what I'm saying. Amen. Anyone ever been in a situation where there was no love? But let me share this with you. In every situation, if you're a child of God, love is there. Because you are love. Somebody to give God some praise. And I'm trying to teach you something here. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with you, I won't keep you long. I know the men want to go watch the football game. My Steelers lost last night, so I don't have much to watch. So I may be long today. I'm mad, too, because they shouldn't have lost. Russell fumbled the ball right at the end zone. Good God Almighty. Amen, amen. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And when you get that, say amen. Amen. It reads, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. For our proposition today, I would like to do something a little different when it comes to this particular text as far as how we look at it. But with the proposition, I would like for us to consider that the gift of Jesus is everlasting. The gift of Jesus is everlasting, and it is a gift that keeps on giving. Amen. And I know what you're thinking, and normally when we hear about this particular text, we don't hear it during the Christmas season. And you know, we don't hear it in reference to a gift. But I want you to see something in this text that Jesus is sharing with us. Because we live now in a time where we like giving gifts. We like giving gifts so much that we go into debt to give our gifts. We spend money that we don't have so that we can please those who have requested of us things that they like. They expect from us to receive something. According to the National Retail Federation, on last year, Americans spent between $900 and $79 billion on Christmas gifts. Lord have mercy. Let me state that one more time in case you don't know how much money that is. Americans spent $979 billion on Christmas gifts just so they can share some things with others. Well, my brothers and my sisters, it concerns me that we are willing to go far beyond what's requested of us to share gifts of material things with others. And when our Father has asked us to do one simple thing, to share Him with the world. When we look at this text, it's not just the Great Commission given to those who we think it's given to, because I hear the questions. I know what you're thinking. Well, Reverend, is this commandment to the disciples? Isn't this commandment for those who are preachers and missionary workers? Well, I want you to understand that it's not just for the disciples. This statement was not just for preachers. Not just for missionary workers. It's to the everyday Christian. And I'll prove that when we look at our text, we see something that Jesus said here in the 20th verse. And he closed this chapter in the 20th verse by saying, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Either Jesus don't know when the world is going to end, or he thinks the disciples are going to live forever. And I know Jesus well enough to know that he knows when the world is going to end, and he knew the death, the date and time of the death of every disciple. And he knew that they would not live until the end of the world. So then I must ask the question, who was Jesus? When I come to terms and study as much as I possibly could, I realized that he was speaking prophetically to every Christian.
Amen.
You know, we like to redirect responsibilities to other people when there are things that we don't want to do. But I want you to understand that as a Christian, you can't redirect these responsibilities. And Jesus expect for you to share him with a dying world. And I want you to understand that when you share Jesus with someone, you're giving them the most beautiful gift in the world that you can never give. No matter how much money you spend on that house for your wife, it doesn't measure up to the gift that you can give that's called Jesus. Jesus trying to get us to understand that we ought to be sharing him at every moment, sharing him every time we can get a chance. And you know, we can't say that we don't have time. You know how we are. We'll say that we don't have time, but we make time for what we want to make time for. Huh? You know, I can't talk about nobody but myself. And when I was clear about the doctors and started back going to the gym, I couldn't find time during the middle of the day to go. I couldn't find time in the evening to go. So what I did was I made time. I told my wife I'm going to start getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning so I can be at the gym at 5. I'm willing to lose sleep
that I can get to do something that I want to do. Yeah. I want us to understand that when we want to make time for whatever, we make time for it. Jesus wants us to understand that we ought to make time to share him with the world that's in need of us. You're not just here for happenstance. God have you here for a reason. There's a purpose for you being here. There's a purpose for you sitting here today. I want you to understand there are people out there that you can reach that a preacher can never get to. I can yell from this podium all I want. There's some folks I will never reach. But just a few words from you would change how they view things. So when Jesus was talking, he was not just talking to those of us who was in the pulpit. He was not just talking to those of us who were taking on the title of missionary and travel across the world to try to help people who are in need. He's talking to all of us. Let me share this with you. No matter where you go, even if you're somewhere that you don't think you ought to be, you can still share Jesus. When I was younger and young in the ministry, I was working at EDS, and a group of men who worked with me, they all decided that they wanted to go to Atlanta to a basketball game. Well, they asked me to go with them. I knew that was a problem. Because, as we all know, Atlanta is not known for basketball. Atlanta's known for something else that we shouldn't be a part of. And I knew that if I went with these men, I was going to have to deal with that thing. So I prayed and asked God, why are you even sending me to this? Why do you have me to go with them? Because I honestly didn't want to go. Because some of them I played ball with in high school, and I knew what type of men they were, and I didn't want to be involved in that. But God said, I have a purpose for you to go. Boom. I hadn't accepted being a preacher yet. I wasn't preaching yet. So why is he sending me on a mission? I'm not a missionary worker. So why do I have a mission? What purpose is there for me to go? And when we got there and the boys decided they were going to go do, you know what they wanted to do, I stayed back. Didn't realize that one of the guys was going to stay back with me. Because he had been watching me, and he wanted to ask me some questions. I had no idea that this was going to happen. And when we sat down, he asked me some questions. And when I gave him the answer, he said, thank God, because God had been putting that in my mind, and you have just now confirmed what God had been dealing with me with. That whole trip was about me talking to him. The whole trip was about me sharing Jesus with him. The whole trip was about me giving him a gift that he had not ever received. We pass by people every day, don't even think to talk to them. Don't realize God have you in their presence for a reason. He wants you to share him with them. Because if you share him with them, they can see him in you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, we're so concerned with people seeing God through the words in the Bible when God wants people to see him through you. Everything you do ought to please him. Huh? And when you're in the presence of family, friends, co-workers, it does not matter. You ought to be willing to share the perfect gift that was given to imperfect people.
Right.
The perfect gift is Jesus. And in this verse, he asks for us to share him with the world.
I must ask you, my brothers and sisters, that if we're in this holiday season, are we giving God thanks by sharing him?
Amen.
Are we too busy partying?
having a good time. I understand I want to party, have a good time too. But one thing you must understand, my intentions are always to share Jesus. Your intentions are to be to share Jesus, even like I said, when you find yourself somewhere that you perhaps not want to be. Because you must remember that Jesus did not shy away from the heathens. The Bible said he went amongst them, sat down, and had a drink with them. Now, I know that's controversial for some of y'all, but Jesus actually sat down and had a drink with men who were drinking. But his purpose was for him to share the gospel with them. To give them a gift that would never stop giving. The gift that can bubble up in you and cause you to feel him move within you. As I was preparing last night, I was listening to songs from heaven. And tears just started running down my face, because I realize he is with me. Not only is he with me, but he's my creator, my sustainer. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. And he's my everlasting father. And not only is that, but he's my redemption. Lord have mercy. All of my sins have been wiped away. Everything I did, he said he'll forget it and cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because God said, if you give them me, you're giving them a perfect gift. And if you want to give someone a perfect gift, give them Jesus. You know, it's a shame that some of us are in households and we have people in the households with us. We don't know Jesus. And we'll coexist with them, never giving them Jesus. When the Bible shares with us that a spouse can help save a spouse, it even became more specific and said that a woman can save a man who's lost if she shares the word of God with him. Stop giving gifts that don't matter. Start giving a gift that never stops working. Start giving a gift that never stops loving. Start giving a gift that never breaks down. Start giving a gift that will love you back. Start giving a gift that hears your every cry. Start giving a gift that listens to every prayer that you have. Start giving a gift that knows what you want when you don't know what you want. We become so materialistic, we forget about what things really are. What this thing is about. This thing is about a Lord who stepped out of splendor. He walked on streets of gold, had angels that have jewels all over their bodies singing to him every day. Every day they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Every day they praise and worship him. But he said that I love my creation so much that I must save them from themselves. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to step out of my splendor and be born into mess. So I can let them know that the mess that they have can be resolved. The mess that they're in can be straightened out. The mess that they have to deal with can be taken care of, because I was born in mess to deliver them from mess. This season is about giving him to those who do not know him, giving him to those who reject him. We ought to be willing to let them know who he is. John 8 and 58 says this, that when Jesus was having a discussion with the Pharisees, They wanted to know who he was, where he came from, and by what authority does he work. And Jesus said something very powerful to them, because the word says, he said, verily, verily. And anytime Jesus says, verily, verily, that means he's about to make an announcement. He's about to make a declaration. He's about to tell you something that is an absolute truth. He's about to give you what you need. And Jesus said, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So when you share him with people who believe that he's just some prophet, let them know that in this verse that Jesus is identifying with his deity. He's letting you know that he's not just some ordinary person. He's just not some prophet, but he actually came out of heaven. And not only did he come out of heaven, but he is God. I think some of us, even as Christians, are confused about who he is. We think he's just the Son of God. No, he is God. In this verse, he claims to be God. So when folks tell you, and when you look in the Bible, you never see Jesus say that he's God. Tell them you don't know how to read scripture.
Say it, Brad. Say it.
Because here in the scripture, not only does he claim to be God, he says, I am God. And when you look in Hebrew, you find out that means that he is Yahweh, yeah. Elohim, which means he's the almighty God, the one and true God. There is no other.
Right.
Share him with the world. Let them know that he's not just some prophet, but he is God. He is Alpha and he is Omega. If they don't believe that, tell them go to Exodus 3 and 14. In Exodus 3 and 14, it says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So Jesus was being very profound in what he was saying. He was saying that I am the Almighty God. I'm not just some prophet who is standing before you that you can treat any old kind of way. You ought to respect and honor who I am. The question is, are we honoring and respecting who he is? Are we? Because we ought to be sharing him, because he asked us to share him with the world. My brothers and my sisters, as I get prepared, prepared to take my seat. I must ask you, are you giving them Jesus? Or are you giving them yourself? If you're just giving them yourself, you are missing the mark. You ought to be giving them Jesus and Jesus alone. Because in Jesus is where power lies. You have no power. He has all power. I love my wife, but she's not mine. She's his.
Amen.
Huh? She is a gift to me from him. And I ought to treat her as such. Church, we are a gift to each other. And we ought to treat each other as such. Church, we are a gift to this world that's dying and that needs Jesus more now than ever before. But are we giving them Jesus? I hear so many of our young black folks coming up now. Whatever doctrine they're receiving is so distorted. Somebody needs to correct them. And guess who that person is? You're sitting with it. That person is you. He commissioned us to give the world him. In this season, we ought to give him to people. when the man who was in need sat at the gate of Beautiful. He was asking of alms. And what did Peter say unto him? Silver and gold have I none.
Amen.
But such as I have, give I thee. Peter gave him Jesus. And then he said, rise up and walk. If we want this world to walk the way that Jesus intended for them to walk, we got to give them Jesus. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there would be one, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. God, a hand clap of praise. Amen. We'll all say, thank you, Master. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now asking as we prepare to leave this place that as we leave, that love goes with us. Not only that it goes with us, allow it to shine through us so that people will see that it is true. That God did send you into this world. Allow us to be that beacon of light that can shine light into the darkness of others' lives so they can find their way to a peaceful shore. Give us that thought process as we leave so that we can walk in power, talk in power, move in power. And we ask, Master, that not only that love goes with us to shine through us, but that allow love to cover us and keep us from the evils of this world. We ask now for these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let every heart sing, amen.